Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're talking about relationships, and I think that they present the greatest challenge in life for each and every one of us. It's just hard for two people to learn to get along. I mean, they're sinful. They have their own desires and expectations, and you're sinful, and you have your own desires and expectations. And when those two get together, it's just a bunch of headbutting to see whose way is gonna win out. And a lot of times, that's the way relationships are handled. You know, we just fight each other until finally someone gives in and says, "Okay, I'll go your way." But that's not the way relationships are supposed to be as far as God is concerned. We are to get along, and we actually can get along when we build all of our relationships upon the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And we abide in the power of his resurrected life living inside of us. When we do that, we can see incredible things take place. And we have been talking the last several days about relationship builders. What happens when we abide in Christ? Well, we start seeing these seven different relationship builders starting to flow out of us and into these relationships we have. Yesterday, we talked about patience. Patience certainly is a must in any and every relationship. And when we exercise patience one toward another, we actually are saying to that person, "I understand where you're coming from. I know you're weak. I know you have frailties because I have those same weaknesses. I have those same frailties." And so we need to work through those, and we can be patient with one another as we do to come to some positive solution. So that's patience. The next relationship builder, and what we're going to talk about today, is kindness. Kindness is number two on that list. So as you are abiding in Christ, you are depending upon the resurrected Christ to live his life through you, you're going to see kindness flowing out of your heart, out of your life, into these relationships. And when we want to talk about kindness, we're not talking about the definition that Webster gives, for example. The Webster's dictionary says this, that kindness, or being kind, is defined as sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, and generous. We're talking about a disposition. We would look at somebody and say, "That's a kind person." Well, that's not the biblical definition of kindness. That word is action. It's kindness in action. It's doing something that's useful, profitable, or beneficial to someone else. So if you see someone on the side of the road and they have a flat tire, you stop and you get out, you help them fix the flat tire. You are doing something that's useful and beneficial to them.
Right.
That's defined as an act of kindness. Well, God first demonstrated his kindness toward us. He acted on our behalf in a way that was useful and beneficial to us. And we see this quite clearly in the book of Titus, a little letter that Paul wrote to one of his fellow workers in the Lord, but it is power-packed, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. You can spend a good amount of time in these three chapters, and it really is amazing. Well, in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit."
So it wasn't just a disposition that God had toward us.
Yeah.
He rolled up his sleeves. That's what kindness is all about. It's about rolling up your sleeves and getting into action on behalf of someone else. And so here we were, dead in trespasses and sins. Here we were, disobedient and foolish and following the ways of this world and getting involved in everything that we weren't supposed to. God recognized that. God saw our need. And in kindness, he reached out to us in Christ and saved us. He renewed us. He regenerated us. He washed us in the Word and the Holy Spirit. That's what kindness does. And so if we're going to be kind one to another, it's about action. And so as we abide in the kindness that God has extended to us in Christ, we're going to see kindness starting to well up in our hearts and in our minds, and we'll eventually see it take action in our relationships.
Yes. And one of the things we always have to remember, and I'll say this every time, so just count on it. When we talk about action, we're not talking about action in order to be kind. We're talking about action driven from the inside out because of the kindness of our God overwhelming us and flowing to other people.
Absolutely.
Very different thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel. You found us today, and we're glad that you did. We would love for you to be a part of the broadcast and the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question you'd like to pose, why, give us a call right now. The lines are open, and we've got plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Tim in Round Rock, Texas. He would like us to discuss the fear of God and the context of the New Covenant. The question is it really just awe and reverence? And if so, why does the Greek seem to imply terror? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling and so forth. That's from Tim in Round Rock, Texas.
Well, very good question. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think when we see God for who he is and we approach him with a sense of terror that he could wipe us out at any moment, and it would be justified. It would be deserved as far as we're concerned. But when we recognize that, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs said. But then we see this work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. What does that fear and trembling mean, Richard? Is that talking about a humility? Is it talking about a recognition of truth? What is that all about?
Well, he stated it partly. I mean, the words used there can mean terror, but it's not the terror of, oh my goodness, God is going to smack me. It's the realization that the God of the universe, literally the God of the universe, is working inside of me. If that doesn't drive you to your knees and thanks, you're not paying attention.
Yes, indeed.
I like to think of it in terms of the pictures in Revelation. Every time something happens in the heavenly realms in Revelation, the 24 elders fall on their faces before God. Well, do they have any reason to fear him? No, they're doing that in adoration and praise and thankfulness and the realization that this God, who could literally speak us out of existence, has chosen instead to take up residence in our hearts and say, Richard, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to change you from the inside out. You're my child. Well, why would he do that? That's the awe and fear that I sense all the time, because I mean, it's God.
Yes, indeed.
And why wouldn't I respect him and be in awe of him because of the things he does for me?
Yeah, and I think that gets back to our ideas about God. There's been some great sci-fi movies out there, some interesting tales, The Lord of the Rings and that sort of thing. And sometimes we see God as Gandalf, you know, this great wizard with a white suit, a white beard. And he's kind of like us. He has a little more power than we do, but he's kind of like us.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't respond in fear and reverence and awe to that type of figure. Because he is just kind of like us. But that's not God. God is spirit. The Bible says that he's an all-consuming fire.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, we see that there was only one time that a single person could go and meet with him in the Holy of Holies, and that was on the Day of Atonement. And only if that high priest would bring blood, the blood of a bull, first for his own sins, and then the blood of a goat for the sins of the people. That's the only way that he could gain entry into that place. And the folks were so frightened that something might happen to the high priest while he was in there. And on many occasions, they tied a rope to his leg so they could drag him out, because they knew if they entered in there, they would die instantly. Mm-hmm. Even on Mount Sinai, God said, you know, here's the boundary. Do not cross it, otherwise you will die. We see when people touched the Ark of the Covenant, they died. It wasn't because God was punishing them. It was just because of his presence was so powerful that they couldn't live, you know, and touch that. That's just the way it is. And so we need a bigger picture of God.
Yeah.
We need our perspective enlarged to a great degree. I know years ago there was a book, I think the title was Your God is Too Small.
Yeah.
I think many people are walking around with a God that is way too small. When we see him for who he is, that's when we will respond to him appropriately, and we will recognize what the fear of the Lord really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim, thanks for your question. Hope that helped to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, simply go online to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners of our upcoming conference, June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Plano, Texas area at the Hope Center, a wonderful, wonderful venue. We are so excited about this event, and it is time for people to start signing up. We've been talking about it for the last month and a half or 2 months. We have quite a number of people already signed up, but there's plenty of room for more. And this is one of those events that could be life-changing for you. Maybe you'll have a chance to rub shoulders with like-minded believers and see what genuine fellowship with Christians are in light of the grace of God. Maybe you have a particular issue that you're not sure how to solve, and you come and you get your answer, and you can walk away with hope and renewed excitement about this relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're struggling and don't know how to live the Christian life. Well, this conference will help you find solid footing in a broken world. So we want you to come. It is an inexpensive way to invest in your spiritual journey with Christ Jesus. I think the registration fee at this point is $79. That you just can't find a conference like this at that price. We have fabulous hotels around the venue to stay in, and all of that information is on the website stand2014.com. Stand2014.com. So go there, register, come join us. We already have people from all across the country. This isn't just a local thing for Dallas people. This is available for folks all around the country. And I think by the time it's all said and done, we're going to have folks from across the pond that come and join us as well. So this is going to be just an outstanding event. Most every conference that we do, we always say that's the best one yet. So we're anticipating that that's going to be the case for this one as well. Andrew Farley will be there. John Lynch will be there. We have great music in store. Excellent opportunities for fellowship, interaction, question and answer. It's just got everything in the mix to make it an outstanding event. So all the information, stand2014.com.
Right now, open lines and time on the clock. That number, 1-800-677-9377. We're on the air live so that you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or your discussion topic. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Rolando. Hi, Rolando.
Hi, how are we doing? God bless you.
And you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. My question is about the revelation. I know I was seeing the DVD of Gary DeMore, which he was trying to explain about the Antichrist. He said it's not really an Antichrist. He was talking about when Jesus was speaking to the generation and that generation, not this generation. He was talking about futuristic and about the 666 and the chip. So he was really saying that there's not really an Antichrist. So I want to just touch on that base. What do you think about that?
Well, Rolando, there's several different ways to look at the book of Revelation. There's one viewpoint that says everything in the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. that Nero, correct, for example, would have stepped into the shoes of the number 666. They can look at that and say his number added up to that. They can say that the judgment on Jerusalem in 70 AD was this judgment of God that the book of Revelation was talking about. And certainly there were people who would have stepped into those roles as far as the beast and the Antichrist and all of that. But then there's the folks that say, no, this is futuristic, and that somebody will appear on the scene as Antichrist. But I think what we need to realize, Rolando, is the spirit of Antichrist has been among us since the very beginning. I mean, Satan is the spirit of Antichrist. He was Antichrist in the garden, and he's been Antichrist ever since. And he has foisted that spirit on the world today. So we live in a world that is basically Antichrist, and that spirit is working in those that are disobedient to the Lord. In other words, it is working in those who are rejecting Jesus Christ as both Lord and God. So they're being utilized or being moved along by this spirit of Antichrist. But Rolando, we certainly believe that there's going to be a point in time where somebody is going to show up on the scene and will be the ultimate Antichrist, will embody that, will incarnate that, so to speak.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know because, I mean, Gary DeMore also made some good points.
Well, I tell you what you need to do, Rolando, is I can tell you some stuff and you can say, hey, those are good points, and I understand where he's coming from. And then this other person can tell you some things and you can say, well, I see that too. And what you ultimately need to do, Rolanda, is simply go into the Word of God yourself and trust the Holy Spirit to bring you to some conclusion. You don't want to believe something because I told you this is what you should believe, or you don't want to believe something because somebody else told you. Ultimately, the book of Revelation isn't about what's going to happen in end times. The book of Revelation is about Jesus. It is God's revelation of his Son in his glorified state. Jesus ascended. That was the last time the disciples ever saw him. They had seen him crucified. They had seen his resurrected body. They interacted with him those 40 days that he remained on the earth. And then they watched him ascend into heaven. That's the last that they saw of him. Revelation pulls back the curtain of heaven and gives us insight into what Jesus is doing now, where he is, how all those are worshiping him. And it is quite remarkable when you look at it from that perspective. So if you will go into the book of Revelation with the idea that this is God's revelation of Jesus, I think some of those questions will start to be answered for you, and you will come to some of your own conclusions about all of these other issues, such as 666 and the Antichrist. We have a great series on the book of Revelation as well. Richard did that a number of years ago. Let me put you on hold and we'll tell you how you can get a hold of it, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, Rolanda. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, there are many resources available to you in our online store at Basic Gospel, and you can access them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. You'll find the Revelation series by Richard Piper and many others. We hope you'll take advantage of it. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. Still some time on the clock. Open lines 1-800-677-9377. Guys, had an email from our dear friend Lucy in San Diego just today, and she wanted to find out something about the person of Jesus Christ. She says, Jacob wrestled with a man, kind of had a wrestling match overnight with what Scripture calls a man, and Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. And Scripture also says in Genesis, the Lord was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The question that Lucy poses is, could that have been a pre-incarnate Christ? In other words, was Jesus actually in human form walking in the garden with Adam?
Well, certainly that could be something that folks would interpret and say this was probably Jesus. The Bible really doesn't say on that, does it, Richard?
No, and there's this $10 theological word that is used for all these appearances. They're called theophanies, and you see several of them throughout the Bible. The vast majority of them are in the Old Testament. But when God is walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve, when he talks to Cain after Cain kills Abel, when God appears to Abraham two or three different times, but in particular when the three people show up to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, there are other times throughout the Old Testament when this happens. And what God is choosing to do at those times, he deems it important enough that he needs to interact as directly as he can with humanity without blowing us away. And so he limits himself, takes on kind of a human form so that humanity can interact with God in a way that is safe. And that's literally what's going on, humanity interacting with God in a way that is safe. And I guess Moses is the one you've already talked about. Moses is the one who came closest to seeing God for who he is. But even at that, God said, no, I'm not going to let you see me full on.
Right. No one can see God face to face. And first and foremost, we have to realize that God is spirit.
Yes.
And so when Jesus put upon himself flesh and blood, that's the first time we ever got a chance to see, you know, the full glory of God in human form. Mm-hmm. Moses got to see just the tail end of God's glory, and it was almost too much for him to bear.
Yes.
Just that little bit. You know, we see Moses on top of Mount Sinai and the tent of meeting, and he's supposed to be meeting with God face to face. But we know that's just a human way of describing
yes.
that interaction. He wasn't sitting across a table face to face negotiating, you know, on behalf of the people.
Yeah.
He was listening. And what Paul said is that this old covenant was mediated by angels. So sometimes it yeah. was the angel of the Lord that appeared. Sometimes it could have been a theophany, the pre-incarnate Jesus showing up on the scene. But those are certainly possibilities.
Yes. And the key issue here is that God has always been so interested in relationship with us, in restoring the relationship that Adam and Eve lost, that he's willing to go to incredible lengths to initiate that relationship to us.
Yes, indeed. And that brings us right back to, you know, our relationship builder of the day, kindness.
Yeah.
God acted in kindness toward us. And we see time and time again that kindness actually leads us to repentance.
Yes.
God's act of kindness to save us leads us to repentance, to a change of mind, to a change of heart, to a change of belief system. A lot of people hold God's kindness in contempt. They reject it. But those who respond to it, they're going to see something happening in their hearts that they never maybe dreamed possible. They're going to see repentance starting to take place. And then when we exercise kindness to someone else in relationship, they might respond back in the same way. Oh, wait a minute, I need to change my mind, change my thinking. That's why this is such a powerful relationship builder.
Yes.
It was key in God building his relationship with us. It's key in us building our relationships with others. Kindness.
Absolutely. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. You know, sometimes, as Bob Christopher has mentioned, relationships can be a challenge, testing your beliefs and revealing your inner struggles and insecurities. On the other hand, they can add meaning and joy to life, and there's nothing quite like it when there is unity in a relationship. For a relationship to be strong, however, it needs to stand on the foundation of God's love for you. To help with this, we're once again offering Bob's Basic Gospel listeners Bob's book called Love Is. We'll send you a copy of it as a special thank you for your gift to help connect people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. Just click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher for a gift of any amount. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Wishing you a great weekend, everybody.